Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Loham Chapel this morning, the last Sunday of the year. So well done. It's great to meet together to worship God, especially when it's warm. So I want us to look very briefly, first of all, to get our subject kind of in line. 1 Corinthians 15:13-14. For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. So a rather blunt passage there, but thank God Jesus has been raised. So our faith is great when we believe those things. And it's a central part of Christianity, isn't it? You know, and if you have to just choose one thing of what you're going to believe about Jesus, I think this should be it. So after Jesus had been crucified, he's killed on a cross, he's buried, but he comes back to life again. And that is such a hopeful thing. So that we can have hope that when we die, Jesus has the power to raise us to new life with him in heaven when we believe in him. So it's a wonderful, great thought, isn't it? Maybe not a Christian subject, a Christmas subject, but it's a great subject. So please bear with me. So I'd like our first song to be Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's on the screen, or if you want, prefer a book, it's 211. Excellent. So everybody together. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Galatians 4, verse 4. Okay, so I think it's quiz time now. We're still in the Christmas spirit, aren't we? So we need a quiz. So this is not a person. This is a what am I? This is an object. So all the four Gospels mention me. By the way, stand up when you know the answers, okay? Or the one answer. I was new. I was sealed. I was guarded. This is not so easy as Christmas Day, is it? I was cut from solid rock. Pilate talked about me. My owner was rich. There was an earthquake near me. I was in a garden. John believed after seeing me. Two Marys saw me. I am remembered at Easter. He is not here. Who moved my stone? I am the empty tomb. Yes, well done all you guys. You were there. So... yeah, the empty tomb. That's the empty tomb. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, most people's tombs are still full up with whoever jumped in there in the first place. Jesus' tomb is empty. It's empty because Jesus is alive, and that's wonderful. Okay, so we're going to sing again. We're going to sing the whole sort of the whole lifetime story of Jesus in a way, starting from the stable, going right through, I think, to the second coming. So should we stand and sing From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable by the Spirit and a Virgin's Birth. Okay, so the reason we're doing resurrection today is because we're getting through the New Testament story by story, and we talked about the crucifixion, and so we have to talk about the resurrection now. And I don't know if the time is good or not really, but it's great that we can talk about the resurrection. I know that. So resurrection. So these are the hand signs, or the words for our hand signs. So I'd like us just to run through. This is how far we've got, over halfway through the New Testament. So how about joining in with the hand signs if you can? And that helps us to remember these stories. So we go Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected. Okay, not too high, because you know what comes after the resurrection? Ascended. Okay, a little sneak preview into January. So we're going to have a Bible reading, and I'd love somebody to read this for me. There's three screens to come up, and do I have a volunteer, Bridget, perhaps? You are always a good volunteer. Thank you.
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go, quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers and leave for Galilee. They will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get into trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today.
Thank you. So a typical Easter Sunday morning passage. But, you know, we're just celebrated, and hopefully we're still celebrating Christmas. God becoming man, God with us, Emmanuel. But let's remember that Jesus came into our world with a purpose. Purpose being, somebody tell me. Save us from our sins, to die on the cross. You know, it wasn't a jolly, he wasn't out looking for entertainment. It cost him dearly to come to earth. He had to leave the perfection of heaven and live among the sin and its resulting filth. And then he died a humiliating and agonizing death, which he did not deserve. We were the ones who deserved that death. But Jesus came to be our savior, to save us from that death. Up until that time, the Jewish people only had the law of Moses to receive forgiveness for their sins. And they weren't very good about keeping it either, or being this bright light to attract other people around into their faith. They didn't prosper as they should have done, because they tended to follow other gods who gave instant gratification, and they flowed with the tide of popular thinking of their day. Not much different to today, is it really? 2,000 years ago. However, throughout his life, Jesus didn't fit the model of what people thought a savior should look like. You know, we remember a king should be born in a palace, not in a stable. All the empire should hear about his birth of a new king, not just some wise men, and certainly not a bunch of old shepherds that, you know, stayed out all night long. The religious authorities should have been in step with the Old Testament prophecies coming true bit by bit, but they were just concerned with holding on to their own power and position. When Jesus was on the cross, it was said that he saved others, but he cannot save himself. How wrong they were. But it looked like the crucifixion of all criminals who had died that way. Jesus was crucified and he died. He was put in the tomb, but it was very different, as we know. He was dead and buried like all the others who were crucified. But the reality is that it was a death like no other, because the wages of sin is death. But Jesus had never sinned. So he didn't have to pay those wages of death. But he did willingly give up his life so that we wouldn't be paying that penalty either. So if our read in Matthew 28, verse 2, we know Jesus was in the tomb. He died. And then it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake in verse 2. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear as they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. This great earthquake, the angel rolls the stone away. Now, if you're used to seeing a tractor or two, you know, this stone could have been as big as a back wheel of a tractor. So it's kind of standing up this height, this sort of thickness. You know, they're proper big stones. They're not going to be moved easily. As we know that the women come into the tomb, we're wondering who is going to move that stone away. But the angel did it. The angel is no problem for an angel, I guess. And then this angel goes and sits on it. You know, and I just love to imagine the look on the angel's face. The guards are down there on the floor, dead faint, gone. And the angel's just sat there. That was easy. You know, anybody else want to guard the tomb or whatever? You know, because it's open and it's there. And so anyway, verse 4 says that the guards shook with fear and they fell into a dead faint. Not much of a match for this heavenly visitation. But the women who came along too, they were afraid, but they didn't faint, interestingly. They listened and obeyed. And my thoughts were, when I was looking at this, I just thought, well, who's in charge of all this, you know? Is this just a random action of an angel popping down, or is there some... Obviously, God is in charge of this. And if we flick over to Psalm chapter 2 and see the first few bits of that, would somebody like to read this for us, please? Thank you, Angela.
Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules on high laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy mountain.
Yeah. So it's very clear, isn't it, that God is in charge of the happenings on this earth, and especially at this time where we're just seeing that you know, it is... it is out of man's hands totally, 100%. And God is kind of looking at those soldiers down there, you know, trained Roman soldiers with all their equipment, and they're just out of it. We see that the stone is rolled away. Jesus, and this is the stone is rolled away, not so that Jesus could come out. Because he later demonstrated that he could walk through walls with his resurrection body. No, it was to let others go in and see that the tomb was empty. Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled away to get out. The guards were in his dead faint, but the two Marys were treated with compassion and kindness. If we look at Matthew 28, verses 5 to 7, we see then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said he would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. And then he says, remember what I have told you. So these women would have watched Jesus die 2 days earlier. And now they were being told that he is alive. It's a lot to take in. It's not what they were expecting at all. And this angel's saying, he's alive and he's going to go and meet you in Galilee as well, which is quite away from Jerusalem if you're on foot. And so they had this job of taking the message to the other disciples. It wasn't going to be that easy to tell the other disciples, look, you know, we all know Jesus died, but actually he's alive. We saw him. You know, if you'd gone with that message to somebody, you know, imagine, shall I say this? Shall I just say it quickly and get it out? Because I'm going to be a bit embarrassed. But that was their job. And so verse 8 tells us that they ran quickly to tell the disciples. They obeyed this angel. And what I find really, really fascinating here is on the way they met Jesus. The first thing they did was obeyed what God was telling them to do. And as they were obeying, they met Jesus. And I'm sure there's a big lesson for us there. If we obey God, Jesus will meet us on the way, as it were. Not in person, as in this account, but he is with us and he wants to journey with us to be our guide. These women were ordinary women trying to do the right thing at a very difficult time. No particularly amazing faith there, but their faithfulness in action was rewarded. And so it's no amazing faith, just simple faithfulness. This is what we have to do. It's a difficult job, but we're going to do it regardless. And God will be there with us when we accept those things. And we don't have to have this amazing faith that we come sometimes see in other people and that we can think are amazing. You know, it's just simply being faithful to what we know God wants us to do. And interestingly, Jesus repeats the message of the angel. Don't be afraid. Tell the disciples to go to Galilee. Maybe they've just forgotten. Am I the only one who just forgets every now and again? You know, but Jesus reminds them of their purpose. Carry on and do that. Don't forget to tell them to go to Galilee. So, and then we see at the end of our passage, the religious leaders act with their usual form, act in their usual form, trying to protect their position and their power. They bribed the soldiers to tell lies about what had happened. They see and they hear about this wonderful miracle which has happened, and they still do not believe. We have God's word, you know, and some people, we sometimes think, you know, if only we saw a big miracle, we'd believe. But that's not the case. You know, even when people see big miracles, they don't necessarily believe. And these religious leaders were like that. They didn't want to believe, and so they wouldn't believe because it was going to upset what they had stood for all their lives, their corruption. And so just to summarize briefly, the resurrection is essential for our Christian faith. It's not a nice theory for us to believe, but an actual event in history that we need to believe in. Without the resurrection, we have a dead Saviour and a dead faith. Nobody wants that. We want a living Saviour. Our old memory verse, Romans 10 verse 9, we could also say this together. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10, verse 9. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if we, our first verse from 1 Corinthians 15, if we look at a bit further on in that passage, it goes like this. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. And so we're seeing some purpose as well in this resurrection. And so like those two women, both called Mary, we are called to be faithful. And if we are, we will receive blessing along life's way. Being faithful might look boring sometimes on the outside or to those around us. But being faithful to God is also time consuming, but we will be rewarded for reading our Bibles, for spending time with God in prayer, for serving each other in church or outside of church. and part of the world, being part of the worldwide church as believers, living life in God's way and not our own way, does require faithfulness and effort. But we will be rewarded one day for that effort. Treasures in heaven. So let's not be like the religious leaders, always concerned with our own power and position, but be willing to believe and to believe the Bible and to be open to the Holy Spirit, like those women who believed in the humanly impossible empty tomb. You know, they believed first and then later on they saw Jesus. That is quite amazing, isn't it? So this time we need our hymn books for our next song, and that is 162, number 162, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. Okay, so we could just run through our hand signs once again, just to remind ourselves how we're doing through the New Testament. And here we go. So we have Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth. Baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth. Woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected. Sorry, I made a mistake in the middle of there, didn't I? I hope you all noticed. Okay, just have a short prayer now, shall we, too, before we move into communion. Lord God, we want to thank you so much that you did not stay dead. When Jesus died, he did not stay dead, Lord, but you raised him to life again, giving us hope, because he is the first to be raised, and we can live with this hope that when we die, you will raise us up because we believe in you. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for this amazing truth. Lord, we thank you how we can read about it and we can see how those two women responded, the two Marys responded in our reading, and how they believed, Lord. And then you met them along the way as they were faithful to their instructions. And so, Lord, we ask that we can too be faithful as you have directed us to live our lives here on this earth, Lord. It's not always easy. We struggle so often. And yet we can help one another by meeting together, worshipping you together, encouraging and blessing one another. And so, Lord, help us to know your presence with us now as we think especially about your death, Lord, in the bread and the wine. Lord, what it cost you to be the Redeemer, Lord. And so we ask for your help now. Be with us. Amen. Okay, so Jesus' purpose for coming into this world was to be a sacrifice for our sins. The Old Testament law only covered up the sins of the people, but Jesus kept the law in its entirety, and he made it complete by his perfect sacrifice. All those Old Testament sacrifices were not quite the thing it needed Jesus to complete, to fulfill the law. And then we could be made fit for heaven because we can take on Jesus's perfection because we believe in him. And so we know that the disciples and Jesus went to the upper room and they had the Passover meal. And Matthew 26:26 says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it and he broke it in pieces and he said to his disciples, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. And so can I ask Andrew, can you give thanks? Shall we take our hymn books now and sing number 296? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. After this, we'll have a time of opening prayer when we can all pray together about various things. Okay, so we're moving to a time of prayer. We can pray about whatever we want to pray about, our friends, family, world, country, even if we've got to go to work on Monday, you know, and we can pray about that too. So let's just feel free to be able to pray with one another, and we can say an amen at the end of each one. Lord God, we do want to thank you for the fact that we've been able to have some time off, I hope this Christmas, Lord, and to relax with our families. But we do give thanks, Lord, for those who work over this period, Lord. And maybe they're just gritting roads, or maybe they're in the NHS, or maybe they're doing some other essential job for whatever reason, Lord. We thank you for them. We take all so many things for granted, Lord, but we are thankful. Lord, we are really thankful for your resurrection, giving us the hope of new life with you in heaven. Lord, without your death and resurrection, Lord, we had no hope. We could not save ourselves. We were doomed. But Lord, with you, we have hope. And Lord, we want to be able to share this with the people we bump into, our friends, neighbors, family, and people we work with, Lord. Help us to be able to do this, Lord. Lord, I know I often struggle to say those sorts of things to people I meet. But Lord, I just pray for your courage and the right words to say, Lord, and the faith to believe that you are with me there. So help us all in these things, Lord. We just want to thank you for each other, Lord. We can't do Christian life on our own very well. And so we thank you for each other, that we can come and go along and encourage one another and be a blessing to one another. So be with us, Lord, as we just have one more song and then we have a cup of tea together and a few biscuits, Lord. Bless that time. Encourage us, we ask. Help us to be an encouragement to others. We ask these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. And so we've got one more carol to sing on the screen, and it's O Holy Night. And it's we've had it a few times this year, but I think the words are kind of new words to us at least, so it's good to get them into our heads a little bit. Just pray. Lord God, we just want to thank you that you did come to this earth in order to redeem us from our sins, Lord, to buy us back, to make us right with you. Oh Lord, help us to understand these things so that we can rejoice and we can share this good news with people around. Lord, we ask a blessing upon us now as we have a cup of tea and then we go to our homes. Be with us, Lord, and encourage us, we pray. Amen.